Okay. Is everybody here? Is the Public Works Committee all here? See Fred?
Well, I am. Tom is.
Okay, Aaron. All right. Let's call the Public Works meeting to order. And do approval of the minutes of April 6th and April 27th. Is there any discussion on that, or is there a motion to accept them?
Potter moves it.
Ryan will second it.
All right. Thank you. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Okay, Vince, highways.
Okay, on the insurance proceeds, Scott Sprague, Doug Rapoli, and Jerry Miller secured $59,250 in insurance money as a result of a car collision with our 1994 spreader. The new chip seal spreader will cost $317,000. We would like to appropriate this insurance money into our major equipment account to help pay for it.
All right. Is there a motion for that?
Support, and I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
This is Mo, and I'll second. But I'd like to ask a question about it.
Sure. Now we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Sure, I have a question. I was wondering what major equipment we are looking at deferring a purchase of. Was this already on the list? I don't remember.
This machine was on the list, a chip seal spreader for $150,000. We had thought when I had made the budget and listed the machines that we could buy a used, good used. It turns out that there are very few used machines out there, and the ones that are have been used up. They just aren't worth buying. So the machine's $317,000, and this money will help pay for it. I have $1,200,000 in the budget for major equipment, and there's a lot of equipment we can't buy. We just don't have enough money.
I'm Walter. I have a question.
Go ahead.
What's the useful life of the machine?
I think the one that we just, you know, was in the accident and we can't use anymore, is about 26 years old. So you should be able to get 25 to 30 years out of this machine.
Thank you.
Now, Vince, this is a brand new machine, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Any other questions? Not?
I have a question, Hillary.
Sure. So,
Vince, are we going to loan this out?
We use this in shared services. The towns depend on us to do quite a bit of chip seal for them. But when we do that, we do it with our operator, and it's only, you know, into Steuben County.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Okay, 3B, one of our bridge division excavators is down for repairs. We are requesting authorization to rent an excavator for 2 to 4 months. It'll be about $5,000 per month.
Is there a motion?
Your repairs are going to take 3 or 4 months, Vince, for this machine?
Tom, we don't know. This was a machine that we were working it on the side of the road, and there was, when he was digging, there was some ice on that shoulder, and he went over the side. And we did significant repairs to it, thought it was in good shape, and then started using it again. And the operator just didn't feel comfortable in it. He just felt something was wrong. So we sent it up to Rochester to look at it, and we're just not sure what it's going to take to repair it. So when I say 2 to 4 months, we just don't know. So we want to give ourselves the the option to have another machine if it does take longer than we expect.
Vince, when you rent a machine like this, are there other expenses that go along with the monthly cost, let's say repairs or whatever? Is that on us also, or?
In this case, when we rent a machine, we would do the normal maintenance, grease and oil and that type of thing, changing the oil. But as far as major repairs, that would not be on us.
Okay.
Now, if we were negligent in some way, yes. But we would not expect to be making major repairs on this and pay for it. If something went wrong with it, I would send it back and say it's on you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Vince, this is Scott. If the machine that we own that slid off the side of the road and is now in Rochester, is it being looked at? If that has significant damage, is that an accident that insurance would cover, or doesn't it matter because we're self-insured?
I think that there is some insurance on that. In fact, I think the first round of repair we had, I think did get covered by some insurance, but I'm not sure about these future repairs. But I'll find out, and I will let you know.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Vince, it doesn't feel right. Is it in the hydraulics, or is it in electrical, or what do you think? You must have some idea. Where do you think the problem is?
I don't remember exactly what the operator said. Doug, are you on the line, or Jerry? I don't remember exactly what it was, Bob. When he got on it and he was, cranking the boom back and turning, there was something in it. It didn't feel right to him. And I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there was something specific, and I'll find out what it is.
Yeah, we have a detailed quote. We have a detailed list from Five Star from our trip to Rochester. There's some issues with the hydraulic system, and they reviewed some of the pins and in the boom and whatnot. And the operator just does not feel comfortable running the machine as is. Like I said, we can share the detailed report back from Five Star. But until we can get these resolved, we're looking to not use the machine.
So, Doug, it's in the hydraulics and in the pins?
Yeah, because we found some metal shavings in some of the hydraulic system. And then one of those cylinders busted. So we had that repaired, but we're still just going back through and making sure this stuff is correct.
Okay.
John Malt, I have a question.
Go ahead, John.
You said you had a quote to repair this machine. How much is the quote?
The quote was in excess of $50,000. So that's the reason we brought the machine back at this point. So we need to go back and review with Scott Sprague, the repairs that the first vendor did, and just make sure before we proceed with any repairs from the second round that they shouldn't have been done on the first round.
Another question, how old is this machine? What does a new one cost?
I think it's a 2008 John Deere 200. I'm not sure, John, what a new machine would cost. I don't have that information in front of me.
Thanks.
A new track hauler is, Doug, was this a track hauler or a rubber tired excavator?
This is a track hauler.
It'll be up around $250,000.
Any other questions? If not, is there a motion to rent this machine?
Tom Ryan, I'll move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any other questions or discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry.
Bob, on that machine, we'll, you know, in this process of seeing what's wrong with it, you know, we're going to have to balance the cost to repair it versus insurance proceeds versus buying new or used. This won't be a simple decision. We're going to have to weigh a lot of factors in this.
I assume that'll be coming back committee, at least a report on it, or what to do, go ahead forward with it.
I'll come back to you with what we find in this and what our plans are.
Okay.
Okay, 3C, the big one, appropriating state funding. Now, what you decide to do on C, D, and E is qualified on two things. This extreme winter recovery money and PAVE New York money, before I spend it, I'd have to have written notice from the state that we're gonna get it. Now, we've been notified that we're gonna get it verbally, but before I proceed with any construction that uses this money, I'd have to have it in writing. And then once I have it in writing, because apparently the governor reserves the right to now to cut the budget or change the budget, so even if I have it in writing from the state, I would go to the county manager and get his approval before I actually do proceed with it. And then I would say, thirdly, even if Jack approves proceeding with construction on this money that we've appropriated, if we find even then that it looks like we're not going to get it, then I would go to our blacktop projects and start deleting those. And instead of blacktopping the roads, I would chip seal them to make up for that money. So this C item 3C is to appropriate what we've been assured is funding that we're going to get from the state, extreme winter recovery and PAVE New York. And we've received these in the past.
And so this is Jack, and the calls that we've had, and we have weekly calls with NYSAC, Chris and I, Tammy has her own with her folks. The best we can tell at this point, we feel that this money is pretty secure. Like Vince said, the governor does have some broad authority to propose cuts based upon revenues or revenue shortages on a quarterly basis. The first round of that, if he's proposing anything, should come out in the next few days. So we should have a pretty good idea on that. And so we'll keep you all posted, obviously, on all of those details. The legislature, though, does have the ability to come back and propose cuts of their own. So he can't just make universal cuts without legislative input. So there's a lot to be determined, but I would agree with Vince that everything that we've heard, I mean, this is very popular funding and very needed funding for every municipality. This has not been on the short list of the chopping block from what I've heard, at least thus far.
Yeah, this is Gary Swack. Does this money have to be spent this year if we do get it?
So, yes.
What was that?
I would not dare to leave it for next year because it could get chopped away.
I think you have to use it during the state's budget year, my understanding. I don't think they'll let you carry it over.
April to April?
Yep.
Thank you.
But the thing that gets us in is you got to have warm temperature to use this stuff. So we only have a limited time to do this through the summer.
Yep.
Right. Yes. Understood.
There's no sense of putting it down because it'll peel right back up.
Yep.
When you plow it, snow in the winter.
Vince, were you given a expected date to get this in writing? Did they give you a date?
Tom, one of the reasons I asked to put it on the agenda was that we had been told that we were going to receive that notice last week or before. So I don't know, but I expect that we would receive it in May so that the brunt of our construction season is July and August and then finish up paving in September. So this would get it on our books so that we could make purchase orders and agreements, and I've talked to Jennifer, which will have a clause in there that we can delete them and cancel them based on state funding. But as far as when we get that notice, I thought I would have had it now. They had told us that, so they're still talking. Something's going on. The Pave New York money is the governor's own program. I would be surprised if they didn't send that money, but you just don't know now.
I think there's three different times that the governor is going to be able to make changes. Like Jack said, one is coming up, I think, at the end of this week. And then I believe there's also one at the end of June and then one in the fall.
Correct. Yep.
Hey, Vince, it's Steve Mayo. What are the blacktop prices going to be like this summer, given the way the oil market is right now? And are we going to...
We're in a strange time of opportunity. Usually when the prices of oil, crude oil, are at $60 a barrel, that's normal. It fits my budget. When it goes down to $40 a barrel, that's when we can do significantly more work. Right now, the price of oil is at $25 a barrel. So we expect that these prices for liquid asphalt and blacktop are going to keep dropping, so that if we can do this work this year, it's going to be relatively low-cost work and enable us to do more miles with the same amount of money. But basically, the prices are going to go down this summer.
I guess the question is, let's assume we get this money. Are we going to be able to spend it all just with the projects you have if the oil prices stay, you know, where we think they're going to stay? Or are we going to be able to add more projects?
Well, in the next agenda item D is where I've added five more projects because of this $1,600,000.
Yeah, but I guess my question is that based on the prices? What's that? These additional things, are they based on the price of oil now or what they were, you know, a month or two ago?
Oh, okay. These prices are based on, let's just say, previous base price of oil, $50 or $60 a ton. If the price drops as we expect, I'll need part of that because I've only put in about a $250,000 contingency in the cost versus budget of my project. So I should be all right. But if it drops some and it takes care of giving me enough contingency and then drops some more, then with our paver, we can go back or maybe let special projects to do more paving of some roads that in the last year or two I've chip sealed instead of blacktopped, because I didn't have the money, but I needed to do those roads. So if it continues to drop, then there could be more projects than on D, which we would do with our paver and we can do quickly.
Thanks.
Steve, this is Gary. In the contracts, there's a clause for when the oil price drops, then they have to drop their price also. So it's a kind of a per ratio of what the droppage is, then the price of to us goes down. So it's built into the contracts.
Okay. Gotcha. This is Aaron Mullen. I have a question.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, Vince, would it be too late to, you know, suppose for a minute that the price of asphalt does go down substantially like the price of oil has? Do we have projects that are more asphalt heavy that maybe we should shift money from other types of project to be able to get, you know, more work done, long-term bang for our buck on how we are prioritizing projects with the low price of asphalt?
We address that, Aaron, by doing as much of the liquid asphalt and blacktop jobs early, meaning in June, because generally, as the summer goes on, the price will go up. So we try to get as much blacktop done early in the season. Now, as far as shifting future projects back to this year, I don't think that it really doesn't serve a purpose. You know, it's basically the same number of miles each year, basically the same proportion of blacktop and chip seal. So no, as far as moving them back from a further year to this year, no. The main thing though that Doug will do, and Bryce did it before him, is once this base price, which Gary was talking about, it's written into the contract. Once that base price seems to bottom out, and it will just, if it's low in June, you want to go in there and get as much of that work done as you can. That's how we do that.
Is there any other questions?
Just another comment from Gary Swack. Is that our five-year schedule, we've done real good onto it, and we're coming to the end of it. So hopefully we really don't have any super major projects by the time we get done with this year. Is that correct, Vince?
Gary, we at the end, 2020 is the last year of the five-year project. Now, I have, and it'll be done. The entire five-year plan will be done, except for about 3.5 miles of County Route 6, which is about $700,000. But I took that off. I reduced our budget. Jack and Chris wanted to know where I could reduce expenses. So I did delete County Route 6, 3.5 miles, about $700,000. That'll be the only job that will not have been finished on the five-year plan.
Yeah, this is Scott. I guess my comment to that would be the point of having a five-year plan is to have vision out more than short term, the, you know, the long term. But you should continue to have an updated five-year plan rolling forward. Now, granted, maybe some of the big projects that we have knocked out in the last 4 years, and including this year, will be taken care of and don't need attention for 10 years. But a five-year plan is something we should always have going forward from a long-term perspective, and we just update it.
Correct.
Yeah, Scott, that's right. You know, I agree with that. And in our five-year plan, the one that we're just completing, it isn't written in stone. We keep revising it with the main goal to finish everything that was on that. But there are revisions within the 5 years. Now, last year, I had our three of our engineers. I showed them how, so they know how to do it. Make the next five-year plan. So we have the next five-year plan starting in 2021. It's all written down, and it's 95% in place. I want to get it in. They did it in their format. I want it in my format. So it's much clearer to me. But we have the next five-year plan essentially prepared now.
Okay.
And I'll be giving that to you this year, so you'll know ahead of time. And the other real benefit to the five-year plan is that when the field crews have it, the field supervisors have it, they know what's going to be built next year. So what they do is they go in and change those pipes on those projects this year so that they settle. They compact and they settle over the winter instead of doing the pipe the same year, and then it settles with the blacktop on it, and then you've got that bounce, bounce, bounce as you go down the road. So that's it enables them to look ahead and work this year for what's going to be done next year.
Okay, is there any other questions?
Yeah, Fred Potter. Vince, was the county route 117 slated for 2021?
Just a second. All right, let me see if I've got that. It's not on. On 2021, let me check that out, Fred. I'll find out where it is, and I'll look at why it's not on 2021. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. So then we've talked about the west end of that.
Yes, I know. Going up the hill. I'll take a look at it. I'll get back to you, Fred.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Any other questions? If not, is there a motion to accept the state funding for extreme weather recovery and pave New York?
Fred Potter moves it.
Mullen second.
All right. Any other discussion? If none, all in favor say aye.
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 Is it opposed? Carries. All right, Vince, D.
Okay, D, now this additional funding will enable us to build more projects. This requires your approval to add them to our D5112 permanent improvements account. Five, it's up there at the top of the hill, Bob, you know, that section. Then 15, 3.3 miles, that's going up to the landfill. We're funding that out of the landfill, but we need some more money to fully fund it. 21 in Canastillo, it's a windy road going up the hill from the west end, starting at the state road. 70 in Howard is from Hub Boys down to Route 7, State Route 17, and 100 in Woodhull. That's a road that we've done over the past few years, but I had to chip seal it because I didn't have enough money, but it was in bad shape. Now I want to just blacktop it over. So this D is to add these projects to our D5112 account.
Mrs. Mullen, I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Ryan will second it.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It carries. All right, Eve.
Okay, now you've appropriated the money, you've given us the money, you've added the new projects. Now, we want to put the money in the individual projects in that D5112. It includes these five that you just added, as well as what we're doing is moving money from what we call our contingency account in that D5112, moving it and distributing it to the other projects to match the bids that we just received. Now, it's not any more money than we originally budgeted, except for the five that you just added. So E is just to distribute the money to all those individual projects.
Is there a motion to do that?
We'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Ryan will second.
All right. Any further discussion?
Mrs. Mullen, I do have a question. I am assuming that our motion would be that those last five projects are contingent on, or that some of them are contingent on receiving the money from New York?
If you add these five projects to the project list, then say we don't get this $1.6 million, what I would do is not delete projects. I would just take projects that are on that list, all these projects, and the ones that are going to get blacktop, they're rebuilt, new base and made smooth, and then they're designed to get blacktop. I wouldn't blacktop them. I would chip seal them so that all the projects could get done. And then they'd be chip sealed, and then I would blacktop them next year.
All right. Is there any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, what else you got, Vince? We got bids.
Okay. Okay, so let's... Okay, the road program. Okay, the bids.
Next on the agenda is the bids, I believe, isn't it?
Yep. Okay, cutting edges. Just a second. Okay, the prices on the cutting edge bid are about the same as last year. I recommend awarding to the low bidder on a line item basis. But a couple comments about this bid. This bid, you can see it shows specific quantities for each type of cutting edge. And it is important to do that because you could have, if you just bid this thing with just the name of the item and ask for a price regardless of how many you would actually buy from them, your prices could be 25-30% higher. So it's important that we put these quantities in here. The other thing that I want you to note, on the bottom of the first page, is a Polar Flex blade system, no bids all the way along the line. That Polar blade system is a new type of cutting edge where it's in segments. It's not a solid all the way across or even 4 foot. It's short segments of cutting edges. And it's adjustable. It'll adjust to the profile of the road in case the road is not perfectly crowned. It scrapes much cleaner. You get a much better job. The initial cost is more expensive, but over a 20-year life, it's about the same. So that's something that Andy and Jerry will, since we didn't get bids, we'll get quotes for a couple of plows just to get it into the system and have the drivers get used to it. So cutting edge bid award on a line item basis, as noted in the darkened boxes.
All right.
The next one, do you want me to go through all of them, Bob?
Yeah, if the committee doesn't have any objections, why don't we make when Vince gets done with it, we do one motion for all of them. Is there any objections to that? Okay, I didn't hear. Go ahead.
Okay, then B.
I got one question on that one, Vince. This new type of cutting edge system, is that going to be rougher on the pavement?
I don't believe so. Jerry Miller has watched it, and he told me I wanted to try one, so we did last winter. He said it scrapes it a lot cleaner. It's the reason it scrapes it cleaner, Bob, is that not because it's harder on the pavement, it's because it's designed so that it's segmented and it'll drop down into the, okay, say when you drive down the road, you can see a couple very slight ruts in an old road. Well, this cutting edge will drop down into that rut so that cleans everything. It's not because it's a straight line, it rides along the top of it and leaves the snow in there. But no, it does. It's not harder on the pavement. It's just that it'll drop down into those ruts and clean them out.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Structural steel, the prices are lower than 2019, and I recommend awarding to Chemung Supply. Asphalt concrete specified in place. This is for the village of Wayland. It's for four streets in Wayland. The price is good, and I recommend awarding to Spallina. Some background on this bid. Doug Rapley spends a lot of his time and our crew's time on paving for the towns and villages. I have told them that we do not have the time to do all this paving work for them and get our work done too. So Doug's suggestion was working with the towns to put out specific bids for their projects. He and Andy Morris did this for Avoca last year, and it worked out very well. They got a nice job done there for a good price, and now we're doing it for Whalen this year. This benefits both of us, the towns and the county. We don't have to spend all that time with our crew doing this. So I'd recommend to Spallina for $102,822.6, and Doug's already talked with Wayland, and they want to go ahead with this. The next one, D, asphalt concrete miscellaneous in place. Prices are a little lower than last year, and I recommend awarding it to all bidders based on low costs and availability. The next one is the grinding. This bid is the same as last year. I recommend awarding to Sucoat. We rarely use this bid because we bought a grinder. And I want to give some background on this. You have always asked me to track these grinding bids and our grinding costs. In 2012, We looked in buying our own grinder. Gary Swackhammer, Jerry Miller did some background on these machines. The grinder we bought costs us $3,160 a day to operate. Mm-hmm. Includes operating and purchase costs. $3,160 a day versus $5,500 a day in this price. Our lower cost and revenue from renting the grinder that we bought has saved us $609,000 over 7 years that we have owned it. It's a $710,000 machine. So buying that machine was a good deal. And again, it's something we save money, but also if we get extra money at the end of the year, it's right there and it's available because we own it and we can go right to work on more roads. The next one, F, is ice control sand. The sand prices are a little lower than last year. Now, Doug Rapley revised this bid to require the suppliers to have our entire supply stockpiled and tested before winter. This will prevent us from this buying war that we have with the towns and everybody else who want sand during the winter. We'll have our sand stockpiled and ready, and it'll be ours. There's one glitch in this bid. Coots did not sign the Iranian clause document. Coots had called us and asked if they needed to notarize it. We said no, but then they didn't even sign it. Now this is significant. So because it's significant that they didn't sign it, I'm recommending it to all bidders except Coots. Now, by not awarding it to Coots any portion of this, the cost of the purchase of this sand total from all bidders will go up from $205,000 to $211,000. So I'm recommending awarding to everybody except Coots. Any questions on that? Jennifer and Andy have gone over this, and we all agree on this. Okay.
Did they have an explanation for not signing? Were they given an opportunity to explain themselves?
Andy can step in here, but we didn't ask for an explanation. Everybody else signed it. Everybody else notarized it. They sent it in, and they didn't sign it or notarize it. They just didn't meet the bid requirements.
Yeah, that's one of those, and we dealt with it with the building project. For whatever reason, unfortunately, the Iranian Divestment Act is one of the state-required forms that we cannot waive. So if they don't sign it, their bid is doesn't meet the specifications.
That is correct. We have it happen every once in a while. It's just not waivable under finance law.
Okay.
So your only option is to accept this, or I don't know if you dare to go out for another bid.
If you went out for another bid, that would be to me unfair to the other contractors. They put in good bids. They have all their bids on the table. They did what we asked them, and now you go out for another bid, and you get the reputation of jerking these guys around for no good reason, and they'll bid accordingly if they see you doing that.
I agree. I just wanted to bring it up. That was all.
Okay. Okay, traffic control supplies. These bids are generally the same or lower than last year. I recommend awarding to the low bidders on a line item basis. Number 7 wasn't darkened for S&S, $4,875. That should be darkened as a low bidder. And then pavement marking. This is for crosswalks and railroad crossing signs. The price is up about $1,800, but I think that's because we added more crossings. I recommended awarding it to Zebra. And the last thing under the bids is getting approval to bid. We need new overhead doors at the Prattsburg shop. And I'd like to get approval for that. So that's it on the bids.
Okay. Is there a motion for the bids? As presented?
I'll make the motion. Does I need to be a separate motion or can be on the same one?
What was that again?
I'm asking if letter I approval for the bid for overhead doors, should that be a separate motion since we're actually putting that out for bid?
What do you think, Jennifer?
I think that makes sense. Do everything through before I is accepting it to go ahead and do it. Good catch, Mr. Okay. Horton.
Sounds good.
I'll make the motion for A through H.
All right. Is there a second?
Ryan, a second.
All right. Any discussion?
John Malter, I have a question.
Sure. Go ahead.
On the pavement grinder, how old is the machine that we have and what do you feel is useful life of that at this point?
I think it's a 2013 machine. We'll get easily 20 years out of it. I expect 25 years.
Thank you.
Hey, John, this is Gary Swackhammer, and we talked to operators in Germany. This is where that machine came from, and they were getting 20 to 25 years on it, depending on how rough the machine was used.
Thanks, Gary.
All right. Any other discussion? If not, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Is there a motion to put out bids for the four overhead doors?
Jeff Horton, I'll make a motion.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and second. Any discussion? If none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Bob, there was
the other thing we have is executive session. Is that correct?
Bob, I wanted to give you an update on the building demolition. Steve Orchid, are you on the line?
Okay.
Yep, I'm on.
Give them an update on how that turned out.
Town of Irwin, you did a waiver for the Town of Irwin to demo a house for a road realignment project. They did that project. They shipped 34.53 tons to us. The shared service cost for the fee that was waived total was $1,000, $1,035.90. It was a clean C&D. They did the asbestos abatement, everything on it, so it was a $30 a ton charge.
So that's the second project of the five that you approved for the year.
Correct. And Town of Irwin indicated they have another project that they're working on. They'll be submitting paperwork for that as well.
That's all I had.
Bob, this is Jack, if I could real quick. Talk to the chairman, talk to Vince and the sheriff and Darlene. I'm not going to sign an executive order extending the closure of the parks. So we'll put out a press release about our parks opening up as of tomorrow. We will still have the playground facilities, the pavilions and the restrooms closed, the touch surfaces, just because we don't have enough staff to get out there and clean them as much as they need to, but we will open the parks facility. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions on that? Does anybody have a question for Jack about that?
Bob, this is Scott. I have another question for Vince. When are we going to get an update on the status of gas to energy?
I can give you one. I can give you one right now if you want. Basically, what's happened is the gas to energy plant is not operating. Our plan had been all along to let out an RFP, a very open-ended, broad RFP for proposals up at the landfill to either operate that plant for us or, which we saw as the big opportunity, was to take the methane gas and turn it into liquefied natural gas and pipe it away. That liquefied natural gas and piping it away, there has been what's called big money in that. However, there was big money in it because the refineries, the smaller ones, had a clause from EPA where instead of putting in ethanol into the gasoline, they said, expensive for us to do that. We want a waiver on that. So EPA said, okay, if Steuben County makes natural gas out of methane from their landfill, then you got to pay Steuben County. And then you don't have to put the ethanol in. And there was big money in that. However, EPA.
Yeah. Excuse me, Vince. This is Steve. I can give a little better update on that. We had some discussions with BNL here within the last week or so.
Let me finish it as I understand it, and then you can. EPA gave them waivers and said you don't have to do that. You don't have to put the ethanol in, and you don't have to pay Steuben County. This was similar to the credit card program, carbon credit program. So that has dropped the price, dropped the attractiveness, the revenue possibilities in liquefied natural gas. So that combined with the COVID thing, we have thought, and we've talked to Denise Farrell, that it would be best, we will put out that proposal, request for proposals, but to wait until we're more of a situation where people can come and go and investigate. Now, Steve, if you found out something different than I have, go ahead.
Yep, we've had some discussions with our engineering firm, and what they're finding out now is the relief that the EPA put in place for these refineries is not being renewed, is the way they understand it. So some of these projects are looking good, and they've got developers that are looking for these type of projects for virtual pipelines, which is where we would produce the gas. They produce the gas and then truck it to a terminal, to a main pipeline. So right now we're in the process of going through and updating our RFPs on that for peer review here internally.
Steve, are you saying that BNL is thinking there's an opportunity to do this without building the pipeline?
Correct.
Okay, and now I still believe that we should be waiting a while so we can come and go up there, or are they advising to get it out soon? What are they looking at for timing?
We're looking at it here, getting out within the next month or so.
Probably okay.
Possibly.
Is what okay, that's good news.
The way things are shaping up with the markets.
Okay.
So it's a new development. I didn't get a chance to spread the news to everybody.
That's good news, Steve.
It's just a question. I honestly don't remember. We have zero estimated revenues in the 2020 budget for that plant, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Jack, do you remember? I just want to make sure we don't have an exposure there.
Sorry, I'm on mute. Yeah, I don't believe we estimated anything on that.
Okay.
I'm Walter. I have a question.
Go ahead, John.
As far as if we're not operating that plant up there, are we burning off the propane or the gas at this point?
Yes, yeah. We have a flare up there. So what the pipe that drains the methane out of the landfill, it goes into the gas energy plant. But since the gas energy plant is not working, we direct it to the flare, and it's burned, and we still get carbon credits for doing that because we have reduced significantly the greenhouse gases.
And at this point, we have received some revenues from the carbon credits. Is that correct?
We received $105,000 last year. Is that correct, Steve? What was the exact amount?
I don't know the exact amount, but that's approximately the correct amount.
Okay, thank you.
Bob, all right. I have a question.
Is there anything else?
Bob, Fred Potter, I have a question. It's recently come to light that some of the companies, especially subcontractors that are putting in fiber optic along the county roads, are not using adequate traffic control. And you know, I don't know if it's up to the county crews and so forth to monitor that, but whose responsibility is that? And I personally come upon that myself. It can be kind of a hazardous situation.
Okay. Fred,
both you and I have seen the same thing. they're not as, let's say, careful as far as putting up two or three advance notice signs, cones, and a flagger. I haven't seen anything very dangerous in what they do, but it's not up to really the standards that should, you know, we do with our crews, or hope to do with our crews. They're doing well, but I think what I'm going to do, Fred, is notify each of the MEO supervisors to let me know when the utility companies are out, and especially to let me know if they think that it's not sufficient traffic control. And we'll handle it that way. And I'll talk with Jennifer about, you know, our authority as far as being able to enforce that.
I had another thought that they have to get easements or something of that nature in order to work in the county's right-of-ways, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that a place where we could emphasize the need for this? Because in particular, I've seen where they have signs up and you drive a mile or two before you even find these guys. The signs aren't in relative close proximity.
Fred, you're bringing something up that I hadn't thought of. The utility companies are required to get our approval to work in our right-of-way, but it would seem that accompanying that should be traffic control considerations. So I'll look into that as far as what permitting these utility companies, under what permitting they're using to get on our road, and is it associated with a traffic control requirement. I've got to look into that, and I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just thinking of ways we can do this without putting it onto the shop managers so much.
Mr. Okay. Potter?
Yes.
I'll get back.
I have been working with Steve Catherman, the engineers, and the other engineer over at DPW to try to do a better permitting process. We kind of have stagnated point, but that's one of the things we are looking into in all the permitting, is making sure that some of these things get captured, because it hasn't traditionally been captured or enforced. So we are looking at more encompassing rules going forward, and I'll help Vince, and I'll put this back on the radar when we get a chance, and I'll get back to the office.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, is there
Vince,
any...
This is Tom Ryan.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
I have a question. That particular email that we got, that individual was, do you know if he was referencing these utilities working, or was she referencing county crews?
Can we talk about that in executive session?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about that in executive session. All right, Tom.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Is there anything else before executive session?
I just want to make sure, Bob, when we go out of this session, we hang up and then dial back in on that other number?
I imagine so. Brenda?
Yes. And quick question, will you be coming back into regular session?
I don't believe, Brenda.
Okay. All right.
And now I think we have.
Where?
Yeah. Now it appears we have two matters for executive session. So one would be the proposed acquisition of sale or lease of real property and potential claims.
Okay.
Well, and I'll make the motion.
Well, we won't, Jennifer, we won't need to come back into regular session then?
I don't believe we will, no.
Okay.
Jeff Horton, second.
A motion and a second to go into executive session. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're going into executive session. All right.
See you on the other call.
Okay.
So we hang up now and then dial in again, right?
Correct.
Okay.